Jesus said, I am the resurrection, and I am life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Behold, I died, and yet I am alive forevermore. And because I live, you too shall live. Roger, Susan, David, Tom, all of your family. Today, this wider family joins you. Joins you in your grieving. Joins you in your remembering. Joins you in your rejoicing at the life that you had with Joanna. Joins you in this moment in celebrating not just her life here on earth, but her promised and assured life, everlasting. I invite all of you, as you are able, to stand and join me in our opening hymn, which is found on page 77, just page 77.
Consider all the world thy hands have.
invite you to be seated and to join me now in prayer. Eternal God, we praise you for the great company of all those who have finished their course in faith and now rest from their labor. We praise you for those dear to us whom we name in our hearts before you. Especially we praise you for Joanna, whom you have graciously received into your presence. To her and to all, grant your peace. Let perpetual light shine upon them. Help us so to believe where we have not seen, that your presence may lead us through our years and bring us at last with them into the joy of your home, not made with hands, but eternal in the heavens. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Michael and David.
A reading from the prophet. Then Almitra spoke, saying, "We would ask now of death." And he said, "You would know the secret of death, but how shall you find it unless you seek it in the heart of life? The owl whose night-bound eyes are blind unto the day cannot unveil the mystery of light. If you would indeed behold the spirit of death, open your heart wide unto the body of life. For life and death are one, even as the river and the sea are one. In the depth of your hopes and desires lies your silent knowledge of the beyond. And like the seeds dreaming beneath the snow, your heart dreams of spring. Trust the dreams, for in them is hidden the gate to eternity. Your fear of death is but the trembling of the shepherd when he stands before the king whose hand is to be laid upon him in honor. Is the shepherd not joyful beneath his trembling, that he shall wear the mark of the king? Yet he is not more mindful of his trembling. For what is it to die but to stand naked in the wind and to melt into the sun? And what is it to cease breathing but to be free the breath from the restless tides, that it may rise and expand and seek God unencumbered? Only when you drink from the river of silence shall you indeed sing. And when you have reached the mountaintop, then you shall begin to climb. And when the earth shall claim your limbs, then shall you truly dance."
Psalm of David, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will feel no evil. For you are with me, your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
And he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand. And God will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand. And hold you in the palm of his hand.
I had some things written down about my mom that I was going to share, and there wasn't any organization to it. And suddenly, last night, in the middle of the night at 4 o'clock in the morning, the surge of creativity came to me. So, this is what I wrote. That's what we'll miss: her gentle touch, that soft voice, her loving care. Knowing that she's just right there, that's what we'll miss. Her shopping sprees, oh geez, she could go all day. Her graceful way, her tender heart, that strong mind, that's what we'll miss. Her passion for all, not just orange and blue. Her perseverance, courageousness, her faithfulness, that helping hand, that's what we'll miss. Her unique laugh, her humorous sense, her funny self, and oh, that contagious smile, a grin a mile wide, those giggle sessions, that's what we'll miss. Her chattiness on the phone, our daily talks, even if to just check in. Her reassurance to say it'll be okay. Her cuddle time, her sweet kisses galore. That warm embrace, that's what we'll miss. Oh no, how could I forget the look, that one she had, the one that said, you're in trouble. You know what I mean. Her perfection, just for us, all wrapped up neatly into one. For my father, for my brothers, for me, for her grandchildren, and all those that knew her. A wife, a mother, a grandmother, that truly special being. Mom, your physical presence, that's what we'll miss most of all. On a lighter note, I have a funny story. I had to call my cousin last night and find out what she called these things. So I guess in the last 10 months, you know, with her losing weight, she called my cousin. She said, I can't find anything that fits me, and I don't have a butt anymore. And so my cousin said, oh, there's these panties with booty boosters. And so my cousin said, okay, let's get on the internet and let's look this stuff up right now. And they were laughing, and she said, okay, now make sure we don't want the X-rated stuff off the internet. So she found these booty boosters, and she wore them one day. She went to lunch with her lunch bunch, her girlfriends from work, and I guess she sat there. I don't know if I'm telling it all correctly, but at one point she said to the girls, did you notice? And they're kind of looking at her like, no. And then she said, I have my booty boosters on. And then she said, see? And they were all touching her butt in the restaurant. So I thought that was kind of funny. Maybe Thomas might need her booty boosters. He doesn't have a butt.
I inherited that, didn't I?
One last thing I wanted to share before Thomas spoke, and that was I came across a reading from the Daily Word. So I was going through drawers and pictures and everything, and it was something that my grandma Nell, her mother, had sent to her, and it was the Daily Word back from July 31st, 1965. And my grandmother said to my mother, this reminds me of you, the good you do for others. The good I do for others, I do for God. What man does for man, he does for God. This is our greatest incentive for helping others and forgetting self. A kind word spoken, an errand run, a smile given, praise and encouragement to a child. These are the gifts that you can give freely every day of your life. Just the giving of appreciation to others is a divinely inspired gift that you can pass along for the Father. Of all his children occasionally need a boost for sagging morale, and a bit of praise from you can turn a dull day into a glowing one. How often do we remember to say, how wonderful, to family and friends. Self-centeredness is overcome as we consider the welfare of others, and we not only help and bless them, but we ourselves are blessed. We all benefit by having more understanding and remembering ways to put ourselves in the other fellow's place. We serve God as we joyously serve our fellow man. For the good we do for others along the way, we do for God.
Before we forget, I want to make sure that we invite everyone down to the Crown Plaza after the celebration here of Mom's life, into the convention center by the parking lot for a gathering afterwards. You're all invited. My mother's calling in life was to be a caregiver. I think this is reflected in a thank you card that was sent to her from the Sharp family, who were neighbors across the street. Their mother, Eleanor, had just passed away after a courageous battle with cancer. And Eleanor's oldest daughter, Ginny, wrote this note to my mother. She said, "Dear Joe, words cannot express our heartfelt gratitude for everything you've done for Mom and our family the last several weeks. Just living across the street gave us such comfort knowing that Mom was being cared for. The delicious food, your advice, and gentle care of Mom during her illness is appreciated more than words can express. Mom was truly blessed having such a loving, caring neighbor such as you. We all thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Love, Ginny and the Sharp family." Our mother was a role model for the family when it came to being a good Christian. Giving, caring, loving, dedication to others are words I would use to describe her. She and Roger spent their life sacrificing their time for family and others. Throughout my life, I can't remember a time when there wasn't someone who was in my mother and father's care. Her vocation as a nurse started with her graduation from nursing school in 1949. During her illness, she shared stories about her career with my wife, Terry, and me. She cherished these times and the many colleagues with whom she worked. During her hospital stays, she developed a special bond with the healthcare professionals. As sick as Mom was, she always would make sure to introduce the nurses that were caring for her to all of us. As only Mom could, she would make them feel good about their bedside manner and care while at the same time critiquing their performances. She always had it set a high bar when it came to the care of patients by nurses and doctors. I learned a lot about my mother during the past 10 months. Although the journey was long and difficult, I'm thankful that I had the time to spend with her. We talked about family, friends, and life. She was faced with some difficult decisions after my father, Don, died. All of her family had moved to California, but she decided to stay in Syracuse and continue her career as a nurse. She told me this is where her roots, her job, and the Bushley family were, so she made the decision to stay. I've had three sides to my family, the Bushleys, the Nelsons, and the McDonalds. My mother always made sure that there was a close connection to the Bushley family, my late Uncle Gabe, Aunt Kay, my cousin Sandy, Dennis, Leslie, and Larry. To this day, we always celebrate Christmas with the Bushley clan. My mother was a courageous person. This certainly was exemplified with her battle with cancer. All of the decisions that she made were to extend her life so she could be with family and friends. Mom was so fortunate to have met and married my father, Roger. They celebrated 51 years of marriage last September. As most of you know, they have been inseparable. You did not refer to just Mom or to Grandma. You talked about Mom and Dad, Grandma and Grandpa. But Mom appreciated her quiet time when she could get it. I was so fortunate to have Dad come into my life when he did. He always provided love, nurturing, and advice, whether I wanted it or not. As most mothers are, Mom was the foundation of our family. She taught us the importance of being good siblings, fathers and mothers, aunts and uncles, as well as grandparents and great-grandparents. One of her greatest pleasures was taking pride in her grandchildren and their accomplishment. As my daughter Erin has said, Grandma was a cheerleader for all of them, never being embarrassed to brag about their accomplishments or discuss their activities with others. My mother always set high standards for herself and the family, but she tripped up occasionally. A favorite family story has to do with the first time my children, Aaron and Michael, heard their grandmother swear. Mom had called and left a message on our answering machine. The message had to do with one of her many things she was involved in, and you could hear the exhaustion in her voice. Her closing remarks on the machine were, "You can give me a call back, but I have a lot of SH, and you can fill in the rest, going on." My children were the first to hear their grandmother swear on the answering machine and pass this along to my brother David. He could not believe it. He had to get in the car, drive over to hear the message, which he did. When the kids played the message back, David called my mother, who was certainly in denial. So confident was she that she didn't swear, she immediately drove to our house and demanded to hear the recording. If she was here today, I think she might say to all of you, she said stuff and not the other word. Our family would like to thank those people who we are indebted to for the care they gave my mother. First of all, to the many friends and colleagues my mother had in the healthcare profession. Second, Pastor Craig French and the members of the University United Methodist Church. To Dr. Fernandez del Castillo and the staff in Boston, Dr. Croglio, Dr. Anderson, Nurse Assistant Stephanie Sullivan, Dr. Singer, and especially Dr. Sipple from Krauss Hospital, as well as the exceptional nursing staff. Also, we'd like to thank the nurses and staff from the Medical Registry and the Hospice of Central New York. A special thank goes out to the McDonald family, Betty Ann and Nate, Marilyn and Tom, Bob, and especially our cousin, Dr. Bill McDonald and his wife, Joni, who gave us guidance, support, and comfort during Mom's illness. Many thanks to the Boyle family, Jean, Nancy, Lewis, and Mike. Nancy completed our family photos for the DVD and provided the wonderful photo of Mom that's up front here. I would like to thank my brother David, my sister Susan and her family, my sister-in-law Vicki and Colin for the love and the comfort they gave Mom, Dad, and me during this difficult time. Finally, to my immediate family, Aaron, Dan, Dylan, Michael, Stephanie, and especially my wife, Terry. She's been with Mom and me every step of this journey and provided unconditional love, faith, and hope. I've been especially blessed to have her as my wife. I'd like to end with a quote from Nelson Mandela that I believe is appropriate for my mother's life. "What counts in life is not the mere fact that we have lived. It is what difference we have made to the lives of others, and that will determine the significance of the life we lead." Thank you.
Once upon a time, there was a child ready to be born. So one day, he had this conversation with God. "Tell me you are sending me to Earth tomorrow, but how am I going to live there, being so small and helpless? Among all the angels I have chosen one for you. She will be waiting for you, and she will take care of you. But tell me, here in heaven, I don't do anything else but sing and smile. That's enough for me to be happy. Your angel will sing for you and will also smile for you every day, and you will feel your angel's love and be happy. And how am I going to be able to understand when people speak to me if I don't know the language that men speak? Your angel will tell you the most beautiful and sweet words that you will ever hear. And with that much patience and care, your angel will teach you how to speak. And what am I going to do when I want to speak to you? Your angel will place your hands together and will teach you how to pray. I've heard that on earth there are bad men. Who will protect me? Your angel will defend you, even if it means risking its life. But I will always be sad because I will not see you anymore. Your angel will always talk to you about me and will teach you the way for you to come back to me, even though I will always be next to you. At that moment, there was much peace in heaven, but voices from earth could already be heard. And the child, in a hurry, asked softly, "Oh God, if I am about to leave now, please tell me my angel's name." "Your angel's name is of no importance. You will simply call her Mommy."
I read familiar words from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. If I can speak in all the tongues of earth, and those of the angels too, but do not have love, I am just a noisy gong, a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy such that I can comprehend all mysteries and all knowledge, or if I have faith great enough to move mountains but do not have love, I have nothing. If I give away everything I own to feed those poorer than I, then hand over my body to be burned but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. It does not put on airs. It is not snobbish. It is never rude or self-seeking. It is not prone to anger, nor does it brood over injuries. Love doesn't rejoice in what is wrong, but rejoices in the truth. There is no limit to love's forbearance, to its trust, its hope, its power to endure. Love never fails. Prophecies will cease, tongues will be silent, knowledge will pass away, for our knowledge is imperfect and our prophesying is imperfect. But when the perfect comes, the imperfect will pass away. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. But when I became an adult, I put childish ways aside. Now we see indistinctly as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. My knowledge is imperfect now. Then I will know even as I am known. There are in the end three things that last: faith, hope, love. But the greatest of these is love. Joanna knew, and more importantly, lived those words. She lived them with both of her families, the family she gave birth to and raised, and the family she was born into, the human family. I don't know if she ever said it flat out, but Joanna understood that ultimately we are all part of one family. And as such, we are responsible for caring for one another. Whichever family you are part of, the family that came from her heart and from under her roof, or the family that knew her out in the world, we were all privileged to know her and to be part of her life. Hers was a love that was large, expansive, encompassing, a love that never quit, a love that was not about flowery words, but about practical-minded action that sought to make life better for its recipients. A love that was both strong and tender in equal measure. If you think of love as a romantic, soft-hearted, soft-headed sort of thing, then you never knew Joanna. For Joanna, love was patient and kind, yes, but it was also persistent and unwavering, perhaps even fearless. Joanna was not afraid to face life head on, right up to the very end. And no matter what, she remained true to herself and her convictions. And it was her ability to hold those two together that made her special. She believed in science and medicine. A long time ago, that was her passion, her profession, her life. Every now and again, we were reminded of that. I remember back in the spring when her health took a sudden turn for the worse. She told me she'd gotten out her PDR. That would be the physician's desk reference. To read up on the diagnosis she'd been given, the recommended treatment options, and the drugs that had been prescribed. If I remember right, she even figured out that the medicine she'd been given wasn't working, wasn't doing what it was supposed to do. It was her nursing background and experience that caused her to put her faith and hope in doctors and surgeons, no matter how risky it might seem. And against all our fears, it worked, at least for a while. But Joanna also believed in God, in God's providence and goodness, which allowed her over the last few months and then weeks and days when the doctors and medicine had no more answers and no more miracles for her, allowed her to remain calm, at peace, unafraid. And if you weren't there to see it, you missed a real testimonial to faith and ultimate trust. Not because of the words she spoke, but because of the way she lived each single day as completely as possible. Be doers of the word, not just hearers, she'd been told. And Joanna? Well, Joanna was a doer. She was a doer when she helped care for aging or lonely neighbors and friends. She was a doer when she threw her weight, wispy as it might have seemed, into the work of our Friday food pantry. Week after week, month after month, year after year, she was a steady presence here and a steadying presence. Not just in the actual operations, but behind the scenes as well, planning and organizing the work, managing budgets and staff, doing fundraising. 3 or 4 years ago, she came to me and said, "This is my last year doing the pecan sales." The next year rolled around, and she came to me and again said the same thing. "This is my last year." And then the next year came, and it wasn't until finally this year that she was really out of the picture. But only because her body simply wouldn't let her go on anymore. In the end, hers was an old-fashioned, a gospel kind of love. A love that never gave up and never gave in. Whether you're talking about the love she poured into her family, the love she poured into her friends here at church and elsewhere, the love she poured into her work as a nurse caring for others, or the love she poured into the church's neighbors who came here every Friday hungry for food, but hungry even more for the milk of human kindness. Joanna poured herself into that without question, without hesitation, without reserve. For in the end, she understood that love is first, last, and always about relationships. And even if and even when she disagreed with you, you knew that the relationship would never be broken by her. About 2 years ago, she disagreed with one of the directions I was trying to lead the church in. It was not some kind of philosophical disagreement. It was a disagreement because someone whom she loved dearly, she feared for the impact on that person's life. And so she wrote me a letter, and then she wrote me another letter, and then she made an appointment just in case I'd forgotten to read and didn't know what to do with those pieces of paper. And she sat in my office and poured her heart out. But she made sure I understood that she and I were still okay. We could disagree, but the relationship was what mattered. There was a time in the songwriter Woody Guthrie's life when his wife had died, and his heart and spirit were crushed, and perhaps even his faith as well. He wrote a song trying to make sense of that time in his life, when things suddenly somehow seemed empty and void. Here are some of the verses of that song. "I didn't promise you skies painted blue, not all colored flowers all your days through. I didn't promise you sun with no rain, joys without sorrows, peace without pain. All that I promise is strength for this day, rest for my worker, and light on your way. I give you truth when you need it, my help from above, undying friendship, my unfailing love. I never did promise you crowns without trials, food with no hard sweat, your tears without smiles, hot sunny days without cold wintry snows, no victory without fighting, no laughs without woes. All that I promise is strength for this day, rest for my worker, my light on your way. I give you truth when you need it, my help from above, undying friendship, my unfailing love. Or in the words that defined Joanna so well, so thoroughly, so completely. If I give away everything I own to feed those poorer than I, then hand over my body to be burned, but have no love, I am nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous. It does not put on airs, it is not snobbish. It is never rude or self-seeking, it is not prone to anger, nor does it brood over injuries. Love doesn't rejoice in the wrong, but rejoices always in the right. There is no limit to love's forbearance, to its trust, its hope, its power to endure. Love never fails. In the end, there are three things, only three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. We thank God for the love that came bundled in Joanna. We thank God for the love that created and shaped her and guided and sustained her. And we thank God for the love that has carried her home. A home that waits for all who hope and trust and believe in the enduring of love. Will you join with me in prayer? God of us all, your love never ends. When all else fails, you still are God. We pray to you for one another in our need and for all anywhere who mourn with us this day. To those who doubt, give light. To those who are weak, strength. To all who have sinned, mercy. To all who sorrow, your peace. Keep true in us the love with which we hold one another. In all our ways, we trust you. O God, all that you have given us is yours. As first you gave Joanna to us, now we give her back to you. Receive her into the arms of your mercy. Raise her up with all your people. Receive us also and raise us into new life. Help us so to love and serve you in this world that we too may enter into your joy in the world to come. Into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your servant Joanna. Acknowledge, we humbly beseech you, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive her into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints of light. Amen. And now may the peace of God, that passes all human understanding, preserve your souls and bodies unto life and love everlasting. Amen.